Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, Cav Nation? I'm your host, Ethan Sands, and I'm back with another episode of the Wine and Gold Talk podcast. I'm coming to you with a midday podcast to give you some insight on what is going on around the league. It's nearing that time of the year when the playoffs take over our lives, and we just throw ourselves all the way into it. But for NBA fans in general, and those who keep up with the game on a larger scale, let me know either on X, formerly Twitter, or subtext, who you would like to hear from when it comes to playoff teams and potential first round matchups for the Cavs. Yes, I'm talking about beat reporters, NBA coverers, all of those people. Let me know who you would want to hear on the Wine and Gold Talk podcast, and we'll see if we can make that happen. All right. If you couldn't tell already, it's a solo dolo episode of the pod as Chris travels to yet another city and state to get the inside scoop for you, which you can read on cleveland.com. But like I mentioned earlier, I want to get into the potential playoff matchups and the difficulties that each team poses for the Cavs. First, we have to look internally, right? The Cavs just took a pretty bad loss to the Phoenix Suns on Wednesday. To put it simply, the Suns had more firepower than the Cavs. There was a point where Devin Booker and Kevin Durant were outscoring the Cavs by themselves in the first half. It wasn't pretty, but the Cavs were able to make several runs to cut the overwhelming large deficit to under 20 points. But each time they made a punch, they were met with a counter and weren't able to bring this contest back within reach. Donovan Mitchell returned to the lineup for the Cavs after sitting out for the game against his former team in the Utah Jazz on Tuesday. But even though he had a team-high 24 points, it felt like he was still adjusting to his knee, and he admitted that it's a work in progress. But thankfully for the Cavs, there isn't anything structurally wrong with his knee. So him getting back acclimated will only be helpful for him to learn what his body will allow him to do and what he can contribute even without being at 100%. Donovan talked about how past experiences have shaped his perspective, especially when it comes to injuries. When he was in Utah, there was a similar situation, and he was thrust back into being the number one option after returning from injury with barely any ramp up. And it seemingly only fueled his frustration. As we talked about on multiple occasions on this podcast, it's important for this team to have joy and fun while playing to be successful. And I wanted to add a word that Donovan Mitchell used, grace. Being able to give yourself grace allows for mistakes not to compound. And there's someone on the Cavs who has grown in that aspect a huge amount. And to me, that's Jarrett Allen. I know I wasn't covering the team last year, but from everything I watched and heard about, when things were rough in the first round of the playoffs for Jarrett Allen, the joy evaporated and the mistakes became bigger than they were and the lights got brighter and it was overwhelming for him. But all this to say that this season, it hasn't felt like any situation has overwhelmed him. He's been the steady presence for the Cavs on good and bad nights, and that is partially because he has only missed 5 games this season, and they were all at the beginning of the year. So whenever a player has gone out with an injury, the Cavs have turned to Jarrett to step his game up yet again. And on many an occasion, he has. And even when he gets dunked on or makes a bad decision or something like that, he just gets back to work. We talked a lot with him about contesting at the rim, and he said that it's going to be a highlight either way when it comes to a dunk. And you can either be on the highlight or you can create a highlight. But either way, the game still continues, and even Donovan Mitchell has given credit to Jared Allen for not letting things compound or his emotions flare or numb his emotions, because neither are good or healthy, and Mitchell could potentially be learning from his teammate in the situations he's been put in. Also, Mitchell admitted that the best thing for his knee is rest, but also said that he nor the Cavs have time for that right now, with how tight the Eastern Conference is, and I want to go into the different matchups that the Cavs could have all the way from the Milwaukee Bucks to the Philadelphia 76ers, because right now, it's all hands on deck, and nobody knows who the Cavs are going to end up facing. So, let's get into it. Here's the thing. The Cavs are extremely unlikely to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round, as the Bucks occupy the second seed and the Cavs are currently in the third seed. But the Bucks have lost back-to-back games against the Washington Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies, two teams that have been really bad this season. And the Bucks' schedule is a rough one to end the season if they're able to drop back-to-back contests against those opponents. In their last six games, they played the Raptors, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Magic, the Thunder, and then the Magic again to end the season. Luckily for the Bucks, the Celtics and the Thunder have already clinched spots in the playoffs and could potentially rest their starters in these games. But the Thunder are fighting for seeding in the Western Conference, currently third and a game behind for the top spot. So who knows if that young squad goes full throttle trying to hold the top seed in the Western Conference for the first time since the 2012-2013 season when they went to the NBA Finals. So, let's get back to the Bucks. I think the Bucks would pose issues both on the interior and the perimeter, as the assumption is that they've been holding back their pick and roll usage to save it for the postseason, and as everyone can agree, a pick and roll with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo is nasty. Then you add in that the Cavs are currently without Isaac Okoro and Dean Wade, two of their best perimeter defenders. It is going to be extremely difficult to slow that matchup down without those two. And as we already know, the Cavs could potentially start the playoffs without Dean Wade, who's been suffering from a knee sprain that has held him out since he returned to practice in Houston at Rice University ahead of the Rockets game, after he made his return to the team for personal reasons. We've seen Jared Allen be able to stifle and disturb Giannis because of his relentlessness on the interior and how hard Jared works defensively, but that will strain a lot for him on that end of the floor and be just as daunting of a task on the offensive end. And without the spacing that both Isaac and Dean create, the Cavs will need Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland to create opportunities for the shooters with driving kicks in this situation, and many that I'm going to discuss. So all that to say, it's borderline impossible for the Cavs to play the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs, but as I've learned this season, never say never. The next potential matchup is the Orlando Magic. The Magic are on a three-game winning streak and heating up at the perfect time with three more games that are basically cakewalks against the Hornets, Bulls, and Rockets. But then they play the Bucks twice and the 76ers, who have now added Joel Embiid back to their ranks to the end of the season. Orlando is currently half a game behind the Cavs. The Magic have the second best defensive rating in the NBA entering Thursday's games and have held teams under 110 points in their last six games. They are a scrappy, gritty, determined young team that reminds me a lot of the Cavs last year. So the perimeter defenders of Jalen Suggs and Cole Anthony and Gary Harris could pose problems for the Cavs ball handlers, especially if they are not fully healthy. If this matchup comes to fruition, the player I believe has the most to watch for is Darius Garland because of how he's going to handle the ball majority of the game and face that defense head on. And the key will be him having to limit turnovers and continue to get to the basket because we've seen as of late that Darius has struggled getting to the interior and even more so finishing at the basket. And especially with the Magic potentially going to focus on getting the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands and forcing Darius to make plays, he'll have an important role if the Cavs have to face the Magic. Going right on down the list to the New York Knicks, who are a game behind the Cavs while holding on to the fifth seed currently. This just got more interesting as Julius Randle has recently been labeled out for the remainder of the season as he will undergo a season-ending surgery for his right shoulder, a shoulder he dislocated on January 27th against the Miami Heat. Randle posed a problem paired with Mitchell Robinson on the interior for the Cavs in last year's first-round playoff exit, no doubt about it. The Knicks have also been without recent trade piece in OG Anunoby, who's working back from an elbow injury. OG has been out of the lineup since March 16th, and he originally underwent surgery in February before briefly making his return for 3 games and then being put back on the shelf. Mitchell Robinson also is making his way back. He's played in 3 games, being spaced out over March 27th, March 29th, and April 2nd. Before then, he hadn't played since December 7th. These are all key guys for the Knicks, and Josh Hart has even said that the Knicks are currently operating as if who they have will be who they will be playing with for the remainder of the season and going into the playoffs. As to say, who knows if OG is going to be able to make a recovery in time, and obviously now Randle, we know, is out. So we said all season, the Knicks would be the worst matchup for the Cavs, and I still think it would be a difficult one, but with all that they're dealing with and going through, the Cavs might be able to make a run at the Knicks if they are able to match up with their physicality. Because even some of their B-tier players bring the mindset and physical approach that the Knicks have been known for, and the Cavs have struggled against this season. So, that honestly could be a fun rematch now because of Jalen Brunson versus Donovan Mitchell and how the Cavs would work inside against Isaiah Hartenstein, because the Knicks have been running basically a center and 4 shooters lineup with Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, and McBride. And it could be interesting to see how the Cavs match up with Jared Allen and their 4 shooters, especially depending on who they have back in the lineup. Next on the list is the Miami Heat. And the Heat might be my new pick for the worst matchup for the Cavs in the first round of the playoffs because they have Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets, who has simply torched the Cavs by getting whatever he wants on the interior. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, the Cavs have played against Bam Adebayo just once this season. And the Cavs are still 1-3 against them this year. And Bam had 15 points and 16 rebounds against the Cavs in the 1 game he played against them. So, the thought of playing a 7-game series with multiple contests in Miami sounds daunting. And the game style and toughness that the Heat play with is staggering. So I think the Heat are now the team the Cavs want to see the least in this year's first round of the playoffs. Next, we have the Indiana Pacers, who recently lost to the Brooklyn Nets. The Pacers have one of the fastest and most high-scoring offenses in the league. And unless the Cavs can get consistent productivity of that end of the ball from their guys, it might be hard to keep up. On the other hand, the Cavs are known as a defensive-heavy team, so in the case that Isaac Okoro can return and guard Tyrese Halliburton, that would be the ideal situation for the Cavs, and have Evan Mobley guard Pascal Siakam, in my opinion. With that defensive setup, I think the Cavs could be able to slow down the Pacers to give themselves a chance to keep up on the offensive end. We've seen multiple different games this season when the Cavs have had a single player step up offensively to lead the Cavs to victory. But it's been few games where multiple players have scored, let's say, 20 points or more. And on Wednesday against the Suns, 3 players scored 20 or more points, and it still wasn't enough because that was the entire offense, basically. It needs to be spread wealth. especially against a fast-paced Pacers team. And the Cavs will need to use Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as offensive hubs to run the offense if they want to be able to take advantage of the size mismatch that they have on the interior. Last, but certainly not least, the 76ers are a completely different team with and without Joel Embiid on the court. His return has already shown that. And coupled with Tyrese Maxey, who is a most improved candidate, someone who has proven to be able to handle the offensive load, and they have Buddy Hield as well as a shooter around these two scorers. This would be a difficult matchup for the Cavs, especially assuming Dean Wade can't start the playoffs. The Cavs simply don't have enough defenders to spread for three different threats that need primary type focus. In an ideal world, Isaac Okoro would guard Maxey, Dean Wade would cover Buddy Hield, and Jared Allen would try to slow down Embiid. But the reality of the Cavs' current lineup would have either Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland guard Tyrese Maxey, Max Strus keep up with Buddy Hield, and Jared Allen still on Embiid. The main problem with this is at the guard spot, because the attention that Embiid brings, Maxey hasn't been playing with. Maxey's been the main focal point on offense for the 76ers. So there's a potential for Maxey scoring to uptick with Embiid back because the shots he could get may be easier with most teams focusing on slowing down Joel Embiid. But those are my thoughts on the potential playoff matchups and who could pose the most problems and why. But feel free to argue with me on subtext or even hit me up on Twitter. We can have discourses mostly on subtext. And that's where I'm going to leave you guys. But until next time, that'll wrap up today's episode of the Wine and Gold Talk podcast. But remember to become a Cavs insider and interact with Chris and me by subscribing to Subtext. This is like a family community where we just talk sports, talk Cavs, and we give you the insight that we hear from the players in the locker room, but also bring our knowledge of the game to you as well. To get all of this, you can sign up for a 14-day free trial or visit cleveland.com/Cavs and click on the blue bar at the top of the page. If you don't like it, that's fine. All you have to do is text the word stop. It's easy, but we can tell you that the people who sign up stick around because this is the best way to get insider coverage on the Cavs from me and Chris. This isn't just our podcast, it's your podcast. And the only way to have your voice heard is through Subtext. Y'all be safe. We out.